Brother man, how are you?
Welcome to the show. I'm doing pretty well. WSJU Radio, St. John's University. We are live with the one and only Willie the Kid. Willie the Kid, how is it going? We are officially live.
Man, I'm good, brother. Just working, man. Staying busy, man. What can I say? Capital Gains is out right now. If you haven't already, make sure you go check for it.
It's real hip hop.
Yeah, man.
It's real. That's what the game needs.
Oh, yeah.
I notice every week when the new downloads and new albums come out every Friday on Apple Music and iTunes, I'm always looking for that authentic hip hop sound. And here we have it. Really, the Kid drops the album. That's real hip hop. Benny's been dropping, Griselda, all those guys.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And it's just my question I have for you. Do you ever see that gritty, raw, real hip hop ever return into the mainstream? Because in the 90s, you had Biggie, Nas, you always had all those old school guys and the people liked that music back then. Do you ever see it really shift and focus into the mainstream in today's day and age?
Great question. I think what mainstream means is different today. Like, so the definition of mainstream isn't the same as it was back then. You know, yeah. Now mainstream is whatever's popular. We have the benefit now of social media. So popularity can be whatever. Like, TikTok is its own community. So what goes on there is definitely popular. But Instagram is a whole community. And then Facebook is a community. And then the clubs with the COVID, even though it's COVID going on, being outside and still being active in your neighborhood is a community. Like, there's some guys who are like big in their town or in their neighborhood, but they're not a success on social media and vice versa. You know, there's some guys with a million followers on social media, but nobody even know who the hell they are. You know what I'm saying? So you know what I'm saying? In real life. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I think the gritty boom bap sound is popular in this space. And I think we got to start looking at the audience and more so looking at the other audience that's not looking at what it is we're doing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you can book 30, 40 dates and you can get 300, 400, 500 people in the venue to see you perform, to me, that's lit. That's mainstream for what it is. But I don't think you're going to see boom back music in on like Nickelodeon or like, yeah, you know what I'm saying, on Sesame Street or, you know, things that, like, and it's not gonna be for kids and it's not gonna probably be playing in, you know, in certain places, but vice versa. You won't probably hear some of the mainstream artists in the circles we be at. You know what I'm saying? So you gotta be able to go to the strip club and listen to party music and then go to the studio and make your boom bap music, you know, and vice versa. You know what I'm saying?
The boom bap sound, it's so unique. And when I listen to it, and then I hear these other kids listening to, let's say, Migos, they listen to that. I don't get how they don't feel what we like, but they feel that. Because when I listen to boom bap, it's just gritty and raw, and you're knocking your head like you and making the nasty face like we listened to Onyx back in the day. Yeah. Nowadays, it's not relatable, and I think that's what it is and why we don't appeal to that.
Here's the kicker. In my car, I don't play boom bap music when I'm riding through the town. I listen to Migos.
Really?
I listen to Future. I listen to, you know, I listen to what's hot. I listen to Lil Baby. I listen to The Baby. I listen to T Grizzly. I listen to mainstream hip hop when I'm in the car. You know what I'm saying? Either that or some old school joints. I play like some 80s pop music or something like that. But that's it. I don't listen to a lot of boom bap music when I'm in the car moving around. But I'll check it out. Maybe if I'm, you know, working out in the gym or something, or every new album come out, I'll play a new album. But like, my go-to music when I'm on the move, it's gonna probably be some of that mainstream music. But when I go to the studio now, see, mm-hmm, I channel all of the inspiration from what I did all day, and I make the music I make when I get into the studio, you know. And I'm a face of the boom bap sound. I'm a pioneer of current boom bap music. You know what I'm saying? So, you know.
What do you like about the new hip hop out there? As you mentioned, you listen to that in your car, which is new to me. I'm surprised, being a boom bap artist.
Yeah. I like the energy. I like the vibe. You know what I'm saying? Like, I like how free and liberated it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, I drive sports cars, you know what I'm saying? Luxury cars. You know what I'm saying? So I'm driving fast. I want to hear some of that energy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to sit and think about what the brother is saying too much. You know what I'm saying? If I'm on the move, it's late night, you know, we're now partying, got some ladies with you, whatever, we getting busy. Like, you don't want to, you know what I mean? It's a time and place for that boom bap music. You know what I'm saying? But at night out on the town, I'm banging Future. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to keep it real with you.
That comes as a surprise to me. I mean, I always say that you always have to have a balance. When I turn on these radio stations, especially in New York, because New York – You gotta have that boom bap sound somewhere playing in New York. I get that SiriusXM plays it, but let me hear from one of the mainstream hip hop stations, Hot 97. They say where hip hop lives, but then I hear a sound in Atlanta. It's like, what's this? I want to hear something that used to sound like Mobb Deep. I want to hear the Griseldas. I like Dave East. I think Dave East is a great artist from New York. I want to hear more of that when you hear the New York hip hop stations.
I don't want to get too deep and too revealing, but a lot of those artists you may hear on radio stations, not Hot 97 particularly, but any major radio station, they're attached to a business, whether it's a record label, yeah, whether it's some, you know, some entity that represents that artist, and that entity has a relationship with PDs and records, music programmers and radio stations and everything. So those artists that you hear all the time on the radio, they're part of a entity, a conglomerate, and it's just a good business for the radio station to play those artists because they're in partnership business-wise with the labels that represent those artists. I think a lot of the artists you name, more the boom back indie artists, we don't have those big relationships like that. We just have our fans. And that's more than enough for me. It's more than enough for the artists that you got, you know, you just named. Like we do well from just being direct to consumer. But the radio is a system. It's a system. It's a business. It's a business. So it's like you may make the best product ever right in your garage, but you may not be on the shelves at the major. You may not be at Walmart, you may not be at Target, because those companies that you see on the shelves at Walmart and Target are operating at a higher level of business and have relationships with the retailers. You know what I'm saying? Same thing for playlists with the streaming sites. Same thing for, you know, artists on these radio stations. So, you know, I don't think we should get discouraged by that. I think that would be an irresponsible thing to do. You know what I'm saying? Just keep creating, man. Do your own.
The biggest thing that I give respect to you guys is that you stay authentic to the sound. It's your sound. You're not changing with the times. You're authentic. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem with these artists, is that I feel as though, because they'll tell me, I'll ask these newer artists, I'll ask them, what's your major inspiration? They'll go to me, I love Nas, I love Rakim, but they sound nothing like it, even though it's good not to sound nothing like it. But then we have the thing called mumble rap, and then they're mumbling. It's like, I'm a bit of a critic on it. I love the lyrics, you know.
I love it, bro. Like if I'm out and about and I'm moving around, you know, man, I'm playing mumble rap. I'm playing that, you know what I'm saying? All night, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, I'm going through all the new albums, finding my favorite joints. I got them on repeat. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm playing all of that music that you're talking about. But when I step into the studio and start telling my stories, oh, it's the most boom bappy shit you ever heard in your life. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Sure.
And it's you. And that's the main thing, is that it's you.
And I'm not going to not do that. I don't care what popular music is. I don't care what mainstream is saying. I'm going to make the music that's organic to me, that makes me feel good, that I know is going to be well received by the people who listen to me. You know what I'm saying? It's just making that differentiation. That's all.
Two big inspirations I know in your career were Nas and Outkast.
For sure.
Who were some of the other inspirations?
Of course, Jay. You know? Of course, Tribe Called Quest, Mobb Deep, Big, the whole Snoop and Dre, that moment, that Death Row moment, of course, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Law the Dark Man, he was your brother.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What was it like having him as your brother, and what's some important advice that he's given you through your career as a rapper?
As a rapper, the biggest, most memorable advice he gave me is when, before I even started making, you know, professional music, he had got a record deal to put out his project independently. And this is like, you know, back in like the 90s, like 97, and we ended up dropping like 98, 99. But I wanted to go out to the music video they were shooting out in LA, a song called Springwater, him and Raekwon. And Ghostface was there. It was crazy.
He put you on the phone with Raekwon, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's before that. This is way before that. When he actually did the video, everybody was going to LA for the video. My cousins was going out there, and you know, my older cousins, I was his age and everything. And I had to go to school. And I said, "You don't want to come to the video?" He's like, "Nah, you got to go to school." And I was pissed. Like, you know what I'm saying? I was mad at him for that. You know what I'm saying? I was like, "Damn, how you letting everybody go? I can't go." You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to go to school. You know, so you can't miss school to do no fucking video shoot. You know what I'm saying? And he didn't explain it in detail at the time, but we spoke about it later. What I realized he was saying was, don't sell yourself for this rap music. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't, like, love the culture, love the art, you know, give it your all, make your sacrifices, but don't lose your ground. Like, don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, if what you do and what's important to you is primary to you, make sure you keep that in the loop of the music. You know what I'm saying? Like, can't just say, forget school, I'm gonna go to a video shoot. You know what I'm saying? Like, it ain't that easy. Wait till you get older, wait till it's your turn to do that. Then you can go to all the video shoots you want. And he was right. Now I got my own video shoots. I'm doing my own video. You know what I'm saying? So like, so the biggest thing he told me was like, you know, just, you know, keep one eye open. You know what I'm saying? Don't close both of your eyes and dream this music shit without making sure you got your affairs in order as a man. You know what I'm saying?
Before we get into capital gains, I want to ask you a question first. Tell me your story of growing up in Michigan.
A story?
Yeah, your story of growing up in Michigan.
Oh, my story. You know, just being a young kid, man, you know, a hip-hop head, you know what I'm saying, a student of the culture, a woo baby, you know what I'm saying, mad posters on the wall, tearing out Source magazine ass and got the whole wall covered with CD covers and, you know, the whole thing, just a big fan of the culture, just growing up in that space. And having my family being from New York, it just gave me a different sort of perspective going to New York for the summers and hanging out there with family and bringing all of the vibe back to this Midwest town. It's a small industrial secondary town. But it's home, and I love it, and it made me everything I am today, you know what I'm saying? But for me to infuse this global cultural, you know, backdrop, you know, to what's going on in my neighborhood, it was ill, you know what I'm saying? Then I went to school and did well in school, was able to go to college and whatnot, but in my neighborhood, like, my friends and everybody around me was doing different things, so I was a kid that would go and read Shakespeare at school and then come home and probably jump in a stolen car, you know what I'm saying? So it was just the dichotomy of it all was kind of ill, you know what I'm saying? And as I got older, I was able to channel all of these things, like, you know, just the hood, man, growing up in the hood and just doing, you know, doing what you do as a young black boy in that situation, and then pivoting and doing all these things around the world. It just makes for a great story.
You went to college in Atlanta, is that right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And what were the most important things that you learned at your time in college that would help you not only throughout your rap career, because you're an investor and entrepreneur as well.
Indeed. Some of the biggest things I learned was, you know, the power of networking. You know what I'm saying? The power of the network, you know, connected with people with similar ideas and merging those together, the fusion and what can come from that. You know what I'm saying? That's the biggest thing. The people I met in college was more important than the things I learned in college. You know what I'm saying? So I give it to this day. I have my own DSP, my own streaming platform. You know what I'm saying? It's called Radiator. It's mixed between Spotify and Google Maps. Is for independent and emerging artists. So if you in a certain location, you can pull up the app, and then the artists that are emerging, independent artists on the come up in those markets, will play on the playlist and report all of the publishing and get them paid for that and everything. It's just a way to give top billing to the smaller grassroots artists, you know what I'm saying? And that'll be available this winter. We opened a nightclub as well in downtown Grand Rapids, full kitchen, full bar space, $1 million build out project, you know. I got my own spirits company. It's called Motu Vijay Spirits. My team and I got this product in 200 locations throughout the Midwest. We just signed a major deal with the premier grocer throughout the Midwest for 60 locations right now. These are all things that I'm doing in the eve of capital gains. So when I sat down and started writing the album, you know, I'm invigorated about everything that's going on with the business. So I just poured all that into the music, you know what I'm saying? So it's a real organic connection there, you know?
Yeah. It's not what you know, it's who you know. That's what they always say.
Yeah.
And I think, like, during my time in college, I think I built a lot of connections. It's important, like, if people can go to college, take that advantage, because it's not all about the schoolwork and all that business. It's about meeting people to get where you want to be in the industry.
That too. Absolutely.
So I know people are going to want me to ask this, though. How did you get connected with DJ Drama?
Just being in Atlanta, getting busy, making music with my man Don Cannon, and we just made a name for ourselves, and Drama was Cannon's big homie, so he would come through and give Don opportunities, and Don would bring me along with him, and, you know, we just made it happen.
What's he like in the studio, Drama?
He's focused, he's working hard, you know, real motivated, you know what I'm saying?
Sure. Yeah, that's fire, though, because people love those old records you guys did.
Crazy. Classic, yeah. With the raid and everything, man, it's come on, man. Like, I was a part of history. That's what I'm saying. One thing about me that I'm excited about to be in the forefront with this Capital Gains project right now. It's 2020, you know what I'm saying? I signed my first record deal back in 2006, and I was around for the ringtone, snap, dancing era.
Yeah.
out my music, and then I evolved into the blog era. You know what I mean? Shout out to Not Right and Two Dope Boys and On Smash and Rap Radar. I was in the forefront of the blog era. You know what I'm saying? Then that fizzled out. Now we're in the streaming, you know, podcast, you know what I'm saying, DSP era. And here we are, Capital Gains in the forefront. It's like I've been in the front through different waves over the last decade. You know what I'm saying? So it's real good to be able to say that. Decade and a half, it's good to be able to say that. Still putting out quality music over that period of time, like from, you said, the drama time up until today. You know what I'm saying? Still getting busy. Not a lot of people can say that in my position.
And the key word is in your answer is quality. It's quality.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Come on, man. Why, if it ain't going to be quality, then what are we even doing here? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, especially to a real hip-hop head like myself. Yeah. It's quality.
Thank you, bro. I appreciate you, man.
No doubt. Capital Gains, where did you get the idea to create this album?
Like I was saying, we're doing so much business right now, man. I mean, bro, we got this thing in the chokehold right now. We're doing all kind of crazy things, opening up opportunities and doing big things for our neighborhoods and for our friends, and, you know, and basically just trailblazing with these lifestyle brands and these products. I was doing that maybe the last year and a half, not even really focusing on putting out the next album. I was recording and doing things and, you know, doing shows and features and stuff like that, but I didn't sit down and record an album maybe the last 10 months, you know what I'm saying? So when I finally sat down to record Capital Gains, you know what's on my mind, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. These gains, baby, you know what I'm saying? All these moves we've been making. So I took that and started creating music from that. And then, like, the marketing and the rollout was mirroring the stock market crash back in the 80s. So yeah. What's going on today with the global pandemic? You see how it's affecting the economy, you know, it's unemployment, crime, you know what I'm saying? It's, you know, businesses are crumbling. Like, that's the same thing that happened back when the stock market crashed back in the 80s. So I paralleled that likeness to what's going on today and used those things for the marketing and to make that connection. So between my personal journey with this business and what's going on globally with the economy via the pandemic, you got Capital Gains, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And we need more rappers like you, and that's what makes you stand out, is that you speak on the issues with business and the economy going on. Why do you think that we don't have more rappers speaking on that? You listen to rappers always talking about money and their fame, and why did you want to speak about business and the economies in your career, especially with this album?
Because it's organic to me. It's what I'm doing right now. You know what I'm saying? I'm fully into these businesses right now. So for me, it's just an honest reflection of what I got going on right now. I think there's a lot of artists who may tap into different subjects as well. It's about where they land. You know what I'm saying? Things is different. It may be a guy, right? You probably could pull him up on the DSP right now, and he's probably talking the same thing I'm talking about, but you don't know who he is because he doesn't have the proper outlet, which is why we're doing Radiator. You know what I'm saying? To give artists like that their top billing and give them some shine and some exposure. You know what I'm saying? So definitely, man.
Yeah, my favorite off of the album is Egregious. I like that one. In the Lex, watching Kathy Lee and Regis, my actions are the ones with the seasons. I love that flip. That was Nas off of Taken in Blood.
Yeah, it's a Nas line. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I like it myself when I was growing up. So a lot of things Nas did really a big inspiration for me coming up. You know what I'm saying? So I'm writing it. Just fell right in place like that. You know what I mean? Got to tip my hat to the GOAT, you know?
Yeah. You think he's the GOAT?
I mean, one of the GOATs.
I think Nas is – I always say Tupac just because of the impact he had. That's the impact he has. I call him the GOAT. But if we're saying, like, lyrically and just the package, Nas.
I always tell people, though, like, when you had these rap conversations, like, who's the GOAT, who's the best, and da-da-da, you got to make a difference between best and favorite. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Sometimes we just say our favorite is the best, but that's not necessarily true. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then sometimes best, what are the qualifications for best? Like, you just said Tupac because of impact. But there's probably some young guy who thinks Little Baby is the GOAT.
Yeah.
He doesn't even know anything about the impact that Tupac had 20 years ago. You know what I'm saying? 25 years ago. So it's like, this is always a loaded conversation to have, but, you know, it's only a few guys that I consider GOATs. I don't use that word loosely. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That title loosely. GOAT, classic, I don't use those words lightly at all. Like, if I'm saying it, I really believe that, you know?
I agree. You gotta say it like you mean it. And as far as Nas albums go, Illmatic, as you mentioned, the lyric that I just referenced from your song Egregious, that was off of It Was Written. What album did you prefer from Nas? It Was Written or Illmatic?
Back to the favorite and best, right? Illmatic's my favorite Nas album by far. Illmatic is probably my top three favorite albums ever made in the world, period, ever. any genre, any artist, Illmatic top three for sure. But It Was Written was a better album.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's back to the conversation. It's funny you asked me that question. Difference between favorite and best, it's a slight, but it's a difference between the two. Illmatic is my favorite Nas album, but It Was Written is the best Nas album.
You were also on a track with Nas for DJ Drama.
For sure.
How was that?
It was awesome. We collaborated, putting a lot of different artists together and everything. And people always say, yo, you sound like Nas. I guess it was just a genuine connection that put me on there. Shout out to Scarface too, Scarface and Nas.
Yeah, from the Ghetto Boys. That's another legend.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's
far. Complete legend. There's another legend that you haven't worked with that you would love to work with.
Legend that I haven't worked with. Probably Drake.
Drake, yeah.
Yeah, probably Drake. It'd be cool to work with Drake. Legend. I would like to work with Nas again under a different circumstance. Like, it was for Drama and it was a collaborate and it was like this fusion, this collaborative album, you know what I'm saying? But I want to sit down and I want to produce the record. Like, yo, I want to do this like that, you know what I'm saying? I put that together. It'd be dope to get back in the lab with Esco. That'd be dope.
I'd love to hear you on a remix of the song Blue Benz, or if you were even on the original version off of Nas's new album, King's Disease, the Blue Benz song. That song was crazy.
Yeah, that'd be crazy. That'd be crazy. That'd be ridiculous.
You lined up a lot of great features and producers for this album. Action Bronson, tell me about the first time you met Action Bronson, because I know you have a relationship with him.
That's my dog.
Yeah.
I love Action, man, because every time I reach out to him, it's always, yo, bro, whatever you need, let me know. You know what I'm saying? I first met Bronson at Alchemist Crib back when we were doing Masterpiece Theater, and he was doing Rare Chandeliers. I did a record for Alchemist, the Russian Roulette album. I did a record for him on that. And he sent me a joint for The Cure 2. And it's called Waste Not, Want Not. When I did the record, I sent it to him. And Action was in the studio with him when I sent it. And Action hit me up like, yo, man, this is crazy. You know what I'm saying? You got to come out here and kick it with us. So I got on the plane, maybe a little while after that, a month or so after that. And met him out there, you know what I'm saying? Got on the grill, made some steaks and all that. I was just chilling, drinking beer, making music. It was a great time.
Sounds like a great time. Alchemist, what do you love most about his production? Especially, he was on the album. He produced songs on the album.
He's a GOAT. To me, top three producer of all time. You know what I'm saying? He's a wizard. You know, and when he sends me music, I always respond to it immediately. I write those songs up 5-10 minutes quick. Get right to it. You know what I'm saying? He has an ear for the uncanny. You know what I'm saying? He's always off the path. You know what I'm saying? With the direction, and it's real organic. You know what I'm saying? So. Some of the best shit, man. AOC, that's my dog.
You always have that authentic hip-hop sound, especially on all your work. Do you feel as though Capital Gains is your best work?
If someone said that, I wouldn't argue. You know what I'm saying? But when I finished it, and even to this day, I'm like, oh, that's not my best album. I don't know. I think right now it is. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, right now. Like, what it represents right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, definitely, definitely. But... you know, it's a lot of great moments in the catalog. If you've been following my music, you know, if you're a new listener or if you've been following for the whole time, there's moments that I can name that's up there with Capital Gains. You know what I'm saying? But right now, Capital Gains, yeah, of course, of course.
And you're someone that takes your time with your music. How long did it take you to create this project or album? I'm calling it the album. It's an album.
Yeah, it's all good, bro. It's all good. Capital Gains took me a solid 3 weeks to make it, but some of the songs I had already recorded earlier in the year, you know what I'm saying? But I just did those songs because I'm in a studio making music. But I sat down and curated the album in about 3 weeks, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I wasn't like in the studio 9 to 5 all day, 6 in the morning for 3 weeks. I just spent 3 weeks in and out of the studio putting it together, you know what I'm saying?
What's your favorite off of the album? I said mine was Egregious. What's yours?
Oh, bro, you know I ain't got no favorite on there, man.
No. They're all your favorite.
They're all my favorite, but it just depends on the day. Like, if I'm at night and I'm cruising, coming through the city, I might be playing that Breakfast Nook on repeat. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Breakfast Nook, me and Ito. Shout out to Ito. Shout out to the Mugs. You know what I'm saying? I'm probably playing that on repeat all night. But If I'm getting up in the morning, finna get outside, I'm probably banging Egregious too. About to go get to it. Like that's that pump up music. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. Or I might be just feeling real cool. It might be fresh. You know what I'm saying? Having a glass of red wine. You know what I mean? I'm probably gonna be playing Durban Poison. I'm chilling. You know what I'm saying? I might be popping a bottle of Motu Vijay Brut. You know what I'm saying? I might go to the Cork Feet. You know what I mean? Me in action. It depends on what's going on. You know what I'm saying? Depends.
It's all for every different vibe. That's the main thing.
On a hot day, you probably want to put on Dirty Game. You know, you probably want to put on Watch Your Step. It's kind of jazzy. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just depends what you got going on for the day.
Yep. A different song for every vibe. And you could definitely listen to that on all music platforms. You got to make sure you go check that out.
Thanks.
Any upcoming visuals from the album that you're going to be releasing soon?
We dropped Dirty Game today. So you can go on YouTube and watch that right now. You know what I'm saying? I shot Perceptions, getting that edited right now. That'll be out. And I'm shooting Tycoon Rap tomorrow. No, Friday. So Tycoon Rap will be out. And then we may shoot something for Cork Feet when I get to New York. I don't know. I'm talking to my people about that. Might put that together. You know.
Make sure people go check out the visuals that are coming out soon, as well as the one that just dropped today.
Yeah.
And you know, you're probably going to let this one sit for a while. Because you know how artists are today. You got to drop something constantly. I would love for this to just sit a while so people can really, really listen and dissect this project.
I appreciate you saying that, bro. Thank you. The biggest thing about the streaming shit, though, no matter when you drop, it's going to be there forever. You know what I'm saying? Like, somebody might hear my album I'm going to drop next year, and it might bring them to Capital Gangs. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the beauty of the streaming. Because it's constant, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can always go back to it. My entire catalog is on streaming platforms. So if you like Egregious, that's your favorite song, or you like, I don't know, you like Free Parking, that's your favorite joint. You want to like, dang, you just heard Willie the Kid for the first time. You're in for a treat, because you go to Spotify, you go to Apple Music, you go to Radiator, you go to Tidal, and it's all there. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like the whole catalog. So now you can sit there and binge watch or binge listen to the Willie the Kid catalog, how you would binge watch a show on Netflix, you find, you know what I'm saying? Three seasons, you watch all three seasons in one weekend. Like, that's how the streaming is for the music now, you know? And they give you all of the albums. If you go on Apple Music and you look at Capital Gangs, all of my other albums are right there underneath it, you know what I'm saying?
So yeah.
If you miss Capital Gangs while it's out and it's hot and everybody's talking about it, it'll still be here next week, it'll still be here next month, still be here next year.
A few weeks ago, I had a legendary rapper from the West Coast on MC8. He told me that he sends his tracks to Primo to listen before he solidified his newest album, Lessons. Do you ever send any of your tracks to anyone in the industry or anyone that you know to get feedback off? And you're shaking your head, yes. So who do you send them to?
My man, V Don. That's why he's co-executive producer on Capital Gangs. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Don is the hardest guy to please, man. You know what I'm saying? If he like it, it's fire. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can give him some crazy, he'd be like, I don't know, bro, this side. Like, when you send it to him, he go, yo, this is crazy. Like, he's the guy who I lean on. If he like it, I know it's fire. And then my man Jokes, my business partner, we got all our businesses together pretty much coming out of West Michigan. And he's another guy, a real stickler. If he likes it, then it's dope. So I might send it to V-Dawn. I send it to Jokes. If I get the thumbs up for them too, I know it's good. You know what I'm saying? And then, like, the producers I work with, I might send them a record and see what they think about it. If they like it, then I go forward. You know what I'm saying? Like, I sent Alchemist a couple records off Capital Gangs before we dropped. You know what I'm saying? I sent them his, of course, with Currency, and then I sent them Durban Poison with me and Rock Marcy. And yeah. He back with a fucking a whole line of fire emojis. You know what I'm saying? I was like, okay, so I know we in good shape. You know what I'm saying?
Did they get into anything really descriptive about what they loved about the album? Because they've heard all your other work.
Yeah, I think the thing that everybody agrees upon, including myself, is how concise it is. Like, there's nothing out of place on that album. Nothing. The album doesn't need anything else, and it couldn't afford to lose anything else. Like, it's a complete, concise piece of work. I think that's what's so impressive. And then when you listen to it, there's nothing out of whack. You can jump in that album at any record at any time. It's going to instantly wrap you up in it real quick. You know what I'm saying? And lay it all out there in front of you. I mean, the beat selection, the features, the chemistry on the features, you know what I'm saying? I mean, the word usage, the rhymes, the patterns, I mean, the titles, the energy to feel, especially what's going on right now. The weather is changing. It's starting to get cool outside a little bit. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, capital gains, you're talking about the stock market, talking about money. It's the pandemic. And then the holidays is on the way. So everybody's going to be talking about money. And you know, I mean, it's just, it's an appropriate piece of work, man. It fits right where it's supposed to go in all aspects.
As an artist right now, especially a big one in the industry, and you got to push the album Capital Gains somehow. How are you adapting to the times that we're living in with the pandemic? Because usually there's tours, there's radio promos. Obviously, we're doing Zoom interviews with the radio promos, but how about concerts or any of that?
It's an adjustment, bro. You know, it's definitely an adjustment. You can't get out and tour and can't even do promo. Like, you go and do all the radio stations, give it all the DJs. You can't even really do that. The stations are shut down. Everybody's digital. You know what I'm saying? So definitely has an impact on the promo. And then, of course, the shows. Like, right now, I'll probably have shows booked, you know, during these months, right now, right after this album, you know, touring and doing things of that nature. But you got to hold that. You know what I'm saying? Because the climate is different right now. But the beauty of it is, though, the streams. It allows everybody to go and check you out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because no one's doing it. Everyone's at home.
You can't say you didn't hear Capital Gains. You know what I'm saying? You sitting at home. It's right there on your phone. Play that shit while you washing the dishes. You know what I'm saying? While you back to the door. You know what I mean? Are you, what up, watching TV or at the same time? I don't know. But, you know, whatever. Right now, it's a good time to sit down and shut up and listen. You know what I'm saying? So for guys like myself who make the kind of music I make, it's a good time for us. People are appreciating this content. They're appreciating the quality. They're appreciating the lyrics. Everybody's not on the go, how we were before. You know what I'm saying? People are actually sitting down looking to be stimulated because you're not getting stimulated from the clubs. You're not getting stimulated from hanging out. So you need to be able to sit at home and watch TV or listen to music to get your stimulation. So it's a good time for me, artists like myself.
I think it is. How did you get involved with PBS and how has that been an experience for you, especially with the Links and Hughes documentary?
It's exciting, bro. My man Jokes, I was telling you about, his father is a professor at the University of Kansas, and he has access to a team of scholars and academics, one of them being the biographer for Langston Hughes' estate. And they came up with this concept to do a film, and PBS immediately agreed to be a partner in the film. And his father reached out to myself and my man Jokes and said, hey, you know, I want you guys to get on board as producers, executive producers, co-executive producers, to bring the generation to the film and the film to the generation to bridge that gap. You know what I'm saying? I remember growing up, Spike Lee did a film on Malcolm X. And that film was important to the culture, like to the young people, like to the streets, to the neighborhood, to hip hop. You know what I'm saying? So it brought his life to the forefront and made it just as important as a rapper you're gonna listen to at the same time. You know what I'm saying? So Langston Hughes deserves that same type of light. I'm excited about it because I'm a rapper, and Langston Hughes, as the face of the Harlem Renaissance, to my opinion, was the original rapper. He was the original person to provide this poetic prose to our experience and get paid for it. You know what I'm saying? So it's a real dope experience. It's directed by Kevin Willmott, who's an Academy Award-winning director. He won an Oscar with Spike Lee for Black Klansman. He did the 24th, and he did the Five Bloods as well. So it's good to be working with him. And then I was actually brought in to Tari Turner, who did Uncorked, and he did Growing Up Hip Hop. And he's out in LA doing this thing. It's good to bring his energy to the forefront. So this is going to be a really exciting project. I'm looking really forward to getting it out in front of the people.
Mm-hmm. When do you think it's going to be released so people can see it?
Right around this time, but the COVID hit and it kind of slowed the production up in a major way. So I'm hoping by next year we should be able to get that out.
I think everyone will be looking forward to seeing it. It's going to be interesting and informative to people who may not know a lot about Langston Hughes, an important Harlem Renaissance poet, as you said, and you consider him to be the first rapper, along with other people, I'm sure, too. Is there any other sorts of businesses that you want to get into throughout your career? Because you're very invested in that.
Right now, I want everything to kind of play into each other. Like, the thing I'll tell you with Radiator, you know, that's just a whole tech space in itself. But we're working on another project right now. It's called Tech X via another entity called Midwest Tech that I'm a part of as well. We're providing training for tech jobs for ex-offenders and people just coming home from prison stints and things of that nature. They may have trouble getting a proper training and being qualified to go get, you know, jobs that they deserve. You know what I'm saying? So we know tech is the industry of the future. So we're providing hands-on direct training to these job opportunities and allowing people to get a second chance to build careers in the jobs of the future. So I'm really excited about doing that as well. Very, very soon. We're putting that together right now. I'm also talking to some guys in West Michigan. We have our eyes on consumption lounges via the legal cannabis industry right now. So providing spaces for people to consume cannabis for medicinal purposes and recreational purposes in public. You know, I mean, at these certain places, and I'm investing in that part and a whole nother thing that I'll get into later as it gets more concrete, but definitely want to move into that space as well. But yeah, anything that impacts the community directly, anything that changes the narrative for us directly, anything that shifts the narrative for us directly, I'm down to get on the other side of that. You know, we've always been consumers. Now it's time for us to own these things. You know what I'm saying? And get on the other side of the dollar.
Yeah. And next week, and it's probably important for you as well. Go out and vote.
Definitely go vote, brother.
Go vote. Because if I don't want to hear the complaining, because I want to, if everyone wants to make a change, go out and vote next week.
And it may sound cliche, but you got to encourage people to vote, not only when it's presidential election.
Yes.
They running for something local right there in your county. Make sure you go out and vote, man. You know, it's the same thing, because you know everything trickles up and then trickles back down and trickles up. Whatever's happening locally is affected by what happened at the top. And whatever happened at the top starts locally. So if you're only voting for president for the presidential election, you're not doing enough even still. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you got to vote for all forms of office.
All forms of office, you know, definitely.
Everything. Looking back on capital gains, let's say in like 10 years, we look back at Illmatic. Oh, this is considered to be the greatest album of all time. How do you think this album will age in 10 years?
It's going to be great in 10 years. I think all my music ages very well. I think all my music has great shelf life. You can play any project I put out 10 years ago and it's still relevant today. I mean, especially when talking about rhymes and shit, like the rhymes I kicked 10 years ago, these guys can't even, come on, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's ridiculous. Like, I listen to these guys like, oh, okay. Like, you know what I'm saying? But, you know what I mean? I was rapping better than that 10 years ago. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I think Capital Gains stand the test of time, like all my music does. You know what I'm saying? Like, Capital Gains just be really important because it encapsulated a moment in time. That was the album that dropped during the COVID. You know what I mean? That, so it's going to always be important for that reason. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, man, it's going to age very well.
I think it will, too.
It's so loaded, man. Like, you listen to Capital Gains tonight. When you and I get off this call, if you play it right now, I promise you, you're going to catch more shit you didn't even hear the last times you played it. I promise you, you will. Yeah. And you may even hear it and still don't even hear, and I can come and explain it to you. Like, damn, that's what you meant. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like an onion. Keep on peeling the layers. On and on and on and on and on. You know what I'm saying? So I think Capital Gains will be in 10 years from now. Definitely.
Yeah. We're still listening to Life After Death and Reasonable Doubt and Illmatic, and still like, wow, he said that, and we didn't realize it the first couple of times we listened to it. As you listen through the years, that's what's interesting about being an MC, is that you get to unpack these rhymes, and it's years later, like, that's what he said. You finally find out the meaning, like, years later, you find out what the meaning was.
I use that word a lot too, unpack.
Yeah,
a lot too. Yeah, that's definitely what I say you're doing. You're unpacking the music, you know what I'm saying? And I'm one of those artists where there's always a lot to unpack, you know what I'm saying? Always. And I think that in itself is a form of preservation, you know what I'm saying? If there's always these unpacked elements to the songs, that'll weigh on you for a long time. You can hold on to the album for years, you know what I'm saying? And still, you know, get into it. But at the same time, sonically, it sounds great. It's going to never not sound good. So, you know what I'm saying? It'll be great.
Just know that you're in my top tier for albums this year. The Nas album, the Dave East, Karma 3, the Griseldas, and all. You're up there, because I hold you guys in high regards, because you're the MCs.
Thank you, brother.
All the other people are on the ground. They're at the bottom.
Hell yeah.
Man, Willie the Kid, man, I had a great time talking with you here today. Is there anything else you would love to let the audience know?
Follow me on that Instagram thing, man. The Willie the Kid, man. Tune in. A lot of more music on the way. A lot of more moves on the way, man. I appreciate everybody for sticking by me. You know, it's been a long time. A lot of good music, a lot of things, you know, that's transpired. My people still rock with me. I appreciate y'all, man. Thank y'all.
Yeah, keep running it up. Capital Gains available on all music platforms. Real Hip Hop. Go support Willie the Kid. I want to thank you, and take care and stay safe, man.
My brother, you too, man.
No doubt. No doubt.
Peace.
Peace.